Welcome to another exciting episode of the Business of Digital podcast, featuring your hosts, Matt Siltala and Dave Rohr. Hey guys, excited to have everybody join us on another one of these Business of Digital podcast episodes, and we have a treat for you today. I know that we have Dave here with us. How's it going, Dave?
It's going.
But we also have a longtime friend and bud of mine, and I'd like to introduce everybody to Jay Sofer. Jay, how's it going, bud?
Hey, man. Good to be with you guys. Thanks for having me.
Now, just to give everybody a little bit of an idea, when you start to talk, I'll let you, you know, share any information, URL, whatever you want to everybody. But Jay and I go back a long way. Jay actually was one of my first clients way back in the day. And basically, I guess the simplified way of putting it, Jay, is you are a East Village or a New York City locksmith. The easiest way to put it is on my end. And so we were talking about just the kind of trust that it takes to be able to go into someone's house. And when you do that kind of work, and Dave had this idea to have you on and talk about that. And so I kind of want to like let Dave position it, but before he jumps into it and starts asking you the questions, can I give us a little bit of your background, Jay, and let everybody know who you are?
Yeah, sure thing. So yeah, man, we do go back a long way. I mean, you knew me right when I got my start, you know?
Yeah.
And I love the theme of this podcast because, you know, the way I became your client was because I trusted you. And, you know, I was trying to have better exposure on the internet via search engine optimization and a decent website. And I was, I don't want to even say a fish out of water. I wasn't even a fish, and I didn't even know what water was, you know, just a complete deer in headlights. And, you know, that's how, I mean, people hire me because they don't know what they're doing. Why would I be relevant if they did, you know? And, you know, to gain someone's trust, you know, for me to be hired and invited into your house where your kids live, you know, where you keep your life's work, into your business, you know, where you have all your sensitive information.
Yeah.
It means a lot to me, and it's a big responsibility. And I, you know, not only do I want to earn your trust, you know, online, that's sort of the first, that's like you kind of walking into my virtual store and you know, being received well and establishing trust from that point. But then when I show up, you know, so I learned this job as a kid. And, you know, part of my intro to trust was just to see how old school businesses worked. I mean, my dad had a shop for 43 years, you know, in an old school neighborhood in New York City. My first job was actually with one of his friends who had a shop for just about the same time. I mean, I think I was about 13 or 14 years old. And this guy was about 80, I think, at the time. And I got to learn from like the oldest school, like the school before the old school.
Yeah.
And all New York old school. And, you know, that shop that my dad had. And
I'm
this
just
guy
thinking
had,
about a 13-year-old Blockbuster in New York City. Yeah.
I learned all the do's and don'ts. It's like, you know, and how to sweep a floor and carry a toolbox and make coffee. Everyone knew everyone in the neighborhood. You know, half the people that came in the shop were just to say hi. And you know, the shop owners there, they knew your name. They knew my dad, you know, they knew my uncle, they knew my sisters, you know, by name. And it was a great, you know, neighborhood. And you generally catered to the people that you were going to see again every day. So, you know, to be a member of the community was vital to your success and to your longevity. So I got to see what just being a part of the community was like. And that was incidentally, my first exposure to business was very small neighborhood businesses. So, you know, I wanted to duplicate that somehow without a brick and mortar location. And how do you establish that online? I mean, you know, you were a huge help. I mean, the work we did, you know, was the catalyst for all that. I don't even think I had, I mean, maybe I had 50 reviews, 60 reviews at the time, I think, you know, maybe less.
Yeah.
I don't remember. I was just getting my start, but I was already at that point pretty highly regarded, and I just needed some rocket fuel behind it. And you definitely took it to the next level. But yeah, that's my start. I mean, old school New York, small business background, and, you know, needed to, you know, well, like every other kid growing up in an industry, I wanted to get the heck out of it, you know, when I grew up, and the recession in 2008 boomeranged me right back in it. You know, I had to drop out of school and I lost my apartment, moved back home with mom. But, you know, I had this profession to fall back on, and I didn't think it could work without a brick and mortar shop. But I think you did a good job convincing me otherwise.
That's awesome. I appreciate you sharing that background and getting everybody the scoop on it. And so, I don't know, Dave, go ahead and do your magic then.
I don't think that I could have come up with a better intro segue.
Because, I know, I mean, exactly.
Well, you talked about the old school, you had the storefront and, you know, people come in and just say hi. You can't do that. Not just your business, but just with online stores, with online businesses, you don't have a storefront. Or if you do have an office, it's in San Francisco, Seattle, Miami, you know, Nashville, upstate New York, downstate New York, somewhere, but it's not wherever you are interacting from. And so how do you, Jay, now online work and get trust? Like, what do you do now to get people to initially trust you, I guess is what I'm asking.
Yeah, no, you know, that's a great question. It's not like I ever gave it a thought, you know, prior to starting a business. I just have a way that I talk and interact with people. There's really never any implied goal. You know, my job is to help people, you know, usually out of a sticky situation. And I had the best examples ever, you know, being in those local storefronts. But to your question, you know, I actually feel like I have more of an advantage now. People don't have to walk blocks over, you know, in the rain or in the cold to see me, you know, with a question mark above their head. And then for a shop owner or anyone working there to gain their trust, you could just text me from anywhere, you know, any five boroughs in Manhattan and or in New York, any area close by in New Jersey, you know, you could shoot me a text message. You could shoot me an email. You know, we can talk on the phone. I have a lot more avenues and can spread a lot farther and to initiate communication with people. And I think the same sincerity can come across in a text message and an email, you know, that can come across in a conversation. I mean, I'm old school, you know, I'd rather be face to face. But, you know, people aren't stupid, and they're sure as heck are not stupid, you know, these days with all these lines of communication. I think people can see through BS, you know, very quickly, and maybe even more alert to scams and disingenuous, you know, actors. Just because there's more outlets, you know, to do so. There's so many avenues of communication now. And for me, I just find that to be a plus. I love it. I encourage people to text me. And the fact that we can get on a video call and almost take like a virtual tour of, you know, your office, and I can see what's going on. I mean, for me, I can give you guaranteed price quotes and eliminate any ambiguity, you know, over the phone before I even set foot in your place. So you know what's coming before I even get there.
You know, that's amazing, Jay. Like, that's an aspect that I hadn't even thought of, like, with, you know, obviously the text messaging making it easy, but I hadn't even thought about the whole video side of it and being able to have someone, hey, just walk me through it and I give you a price. Like, that's amazing. That's pretty cool.
Oh, thanks, man. You know what? Why don't I just give you an example from today? Okay. This guy called me 2 days ago, and he's the building manager, and he's got to get the okay, you know, from the people that signed the checks, you know, his main office. So he finds me on Yelp, you know, reads the reviews, but he has to give detailed information to his bosses. So we get on the video chat, you know, he sends me a recording of what's going on with the lock, and, you know, complete transparency. Let me tell you what the worst case scenario would be, so you know what max amount you'd be paying if everything went to hell. And about the 8 parts that were working on those 2 doors, I told him that I'll do my best to salvage all of them, but the most you're looking at is this, but we're going to try to repair everything. And it came out to like about, let's say worst case scenario was about $800 to work on those 2 doors if everything went to heck. And it turns out of the 8 pieces, I was able to salvage 5 of them, and the job came out to $300. So, and I got to show him a couple cool maintenance tricks there while we were at it, you know, since he's the building manager and seemed pretty mechanically inclined. So, you know, what did I just do there? honestly, I just did, you know, what I saw my dad do, you know, and what I saw, you know, the people that, that I learned from do. And I just made a friend and a client for life. You know, he'll recommend me to his network. And because of all these avenues of communication, you know, your network there isn't your three block radius. You know, it's your, all your friend group on Facebook and the Yelp friends and blogs and you name it. So, and there was no implied goal there other than, hey man, I'm going to tell you that I want to repair stuff. But he was able to know exactly what would happen through video and text and a phone call before I even showed up. So I love it.
Awesome. Sorry, Dave, I didn't mean to jump in front of you there, but.
No. There's, I've seen other businesses do it now, especially with the, and even before contactless, you know, but now that seems to be in a lot of advertising. It's a, you know, if you have a plumbing issue, if you have an HVAC issue, if you, you know, water heater's bad, we can jump on a video call, you know, click the button and contact us and we can do a video call to come in. We can do that free appraisal without, and then for me, it's interesting because that opens up, if you can do it, and Jay, you know, there's an article that we'll drop into an entrepreneur that came out a couple months ago that was almost walking through this kind of trust and being, you know, you being unlocking trust with your customers and clients. But I think that opens up those that can do it and move forward and jump at opportunities to do that video stuff. Is that something that you came up with or where did that come from, the video?
Yeah, great question. I mean, my business evolved from the time, you know, I started getting work to the time I began working with Matt, you know, till now. So to give you an idea, I started Lockbusters with an AT&T prepaid Go phone that I used to fill up $10 at a time on a line in Kmart in the East Village. So, and by the time I met Matt,
it's amazing.
Yeah. By the time I met Matt, I think I was on an LG flip phone. And I think I got, oh no, I'm sorry. I had a BlackBerry and I could be getting that wrong, but the point is I didn't have anything super fancy yet. And Matt introduced me to Square. And I think that little Square toggle that you put in the phone jack just came out and it blew my mind. And I thought, okay, this is it, because it would, you know, clients would always ask me if they could take credit card, and this is going to be a bigger answer than you know you bargained for here, but you know the reason why that was so important is because the same device that would allow me to communicate with clients efficiently through video, through text message, phone calls, you name it, video chat, was the same one that I could accept credit cards with. So smartphone technology just propelled my business to not just the next level, but levels. I mean, when you have computing power in the palm of your hand that's more than the rocket ship they sent to space in the 60s, that's pretty good, man. You know, you've got a lot of outlets there. And the reason why I like it so much is because, look, there, you could train a monkey to use this thing. You know, they make it idiot-proof, and they definitely had this monkey in mind when they made this thing. So if somebody doesn't want to use it, or doesn't feel like it should be a part of their business, that is actually suspicious to me. Like, we have so many avenues of communication now. There's almost no excuse, you know? I mean, they did the hard part. You know, the easy part for me is to communicate to the client that, you know, based on what I see, this is what I think, and let's see how we could save you some money, or let's see what we could do for you to secure your place. And I get about 99% of the information I need through the palm of my hand.
See, and I think businesses that embrace that, like you and yours, like, they're thriving, especially during this time with a lot of the stuff that Dave mentioned too with contactless. But because I just go back and I think a lot of the, you know, think about, Dave, some of the conversations we've had about local businesses and like what drives us nuts. When you leave a message or when you research out and you find them and it takes them like 4 days to get back to you, or they don't get back to you at all, or they get back to you in the following week. Like, I don't know how businesses are surviving, especially during, you know, COVID times or whatever you want to call it. Like, this is just like, I don't know. You know what I mean? Like, I don't know how they're going to survive versus those that are embracing it, doing stuff like this and are thriving.
Yeah, you know, I never thought that answering a text message, you know, and being kind to people was going to be a differentiating factor with my competition. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, who knew, huh?
I mean, who?
You mean I'm running a business here?
I mean, it's incredible. Like, I started, you know, now we're in difficult times, you know, which makes, you know, everyone that walks through your virtual door or calls you or texts you, you know, so much more valuable because, you know, everything is there's just a huge question mark, you know, over everything. Are we going to lock down again? You know, is this thing coming back, you know, even stronger? We just don't know. So everyone's doing what they can. I mean, this is familiar waters for me, not the pandemic, but I started this business in the recession. You know, I got my incorporation papers in October 2008. Oh, I was anybody that needed help for any little thing. Oh my goodness, are you kidding me? I would have cooked them food, you know? So I don't get how people don't value that. And like, to your point, I mean, if somebody's gonna answer your email after 2 days, I mean, for me, 2 hours is too much. I try to get back through email when I can between 20 and 30 minutes, because I feel like that I'm not the only game in town. There are other options, and this person really needs me. And if I don't get back, you know, in a timely manner, I mean, and if I could get back sooner, I will. I just don't want to let it go that much longer. And if I miss something, it's like, oh, damn it. I'm very sorry. I apologize for the delayed reply. If you still need help, what can I do for you? That's how I would answer. And we're not talking about 2 days. That's like 2 hours. I'm going to apologize because there's just no excuse for that when it's dinging in your hand, or in my case, in my back pocket.
Well, it's amazing to me to think about too, because I remember we've done this exercise before where, you know, anyone that pulls up a Google Maps and types in New York City locksmith or whatever,
Like
cockroaches on the map, you know?
Good Lord. Yeah, it's like cockroaches in your favorite restaurant in New York. I know. Yeah.
That's funny. All right. Well, Dave, did you have any follow-up questions to that for Jay?
Yes. So how are you translating your care and your personality and just everything about your business to your online personalities or sites?
Yeah, you know, I love engaging with people. You know, I think New York is a crazy place, and you're even crazier for wanting to move here. And I love it, and I want to hear your story because I have one too. You know, and you know, it's a great thing to just engage with people. And you know, no one moves to this city, you know, just to get by. You know, everyone is coming here with some unique ambition, and I just love being a small part of their journey. And they're usually very eager to tell me their story or, you know, where their business is at. So, you know, just engaging with people, and that goes back to my small business upbringing. You know, that goes back to the way I saw neighborhood shop owners run their show. And like to give you an example, in my dad's shop, there was a wall with Polaroid pictures of some of the clients' pets because they'd come in with their dogs. So there were just pictures of dogs and, like, you know, dogs with like birthday hats on and dogs, you know, playing in the mud, or just, so it's like, it was just such a great neighborhood feel. So, you know, I was going to treat people the same way that I saw clients being treated. So That's one. Another thing is that, you know, people get to read about me online prior to that. So they know my work with Animal Charity and they want to ask me about it. They see some of the more colorful reviews and they want to hear a story, you know? when it's that transparent online, and now that people really get to have the luxury of learning almost everything about me before I show up at their door, you know, that's so valuable. And everyone's endorsement that precedes me is so valuable that, you know, I start off on the best foot. I mean, you know, people greet me with a smile, and my story is already out there, and it's definitely part of their decision-making process. You know, it's, let's put it this way. It's for me to ruin. All right. It's everything there is fantastic. It's for me to screw up, and there's no reason for me to. I mean, someone hired me because of what they read, you know, now for me, it's like, all right, get the job done and make them happy. You know, it's like, it's that simple. They called me because they already trust me. And that means everything to me.
Very cool. Well, hey Dave, I think we're getting close to the end of it. So why don't you, do you have a final question for Jay and then we'll wrap this thing up?
If there was one thing you, if someone was starting a new business and there was one thing that they were going to do, whether it's whatever online, what would be that one thing you would say tell them to try to help instill trust?
That's a great one. I think that, you know, put yourself in the client's shoes and then go through all the steps that they would take when they're looking at your business. So, you know, who's answering the phones and emails and how fast are they answering it? You know, like you got to see it through the client's experience. You know, get your friends who, you know, don't know your business. So you don't have like basically this bias, you know, of like what you think would be the right thing to do as opposed to, you know, what a stranger's feedback would be, or just someone who doesn't have to be a stranger, just someone who doesn't know. You know, that's why it was great working with Matt. It was like, oh, cool, that's an interesting perspective. I didn't think of that. And the reason I didn't think of that is because I'm knee deep in it. How am I supposed to think of that?
Yeah.
So, and, you know, there's actually two things. It can't be one. That's one. Actually have a damage control policy. And most people don't think that. They think like, oh, I want to get online and I'm just going to get all these crazy reviews because I'm going to put on a dog and pony show. No. You're going to screw up. And if you have a good damage control policy in place that shows the client that you're actually sincere about correcting a mistake, brother, that's your secret sauce right there.
Very cool. You know, Jay, I still think one of the greatest shows that's never going to air on TV is A Crew Following You Around. we've come close. We've talked about how there has been production crews before and it's just never happened or panned out. But just based on like some of the reviews that I've read, the stories that have been told by you and just knowing you, I think that would be one of the greatest shows to ever air on A&E or wherever.
But. Oh, thanks, man. I mean, look, with your encouragement and all that, I mean, I'll probably have to get it off the ground myself, maybe do a podcast. I'll call it Story Time with Jay. So at least everyone can, they could tag along that way.
Well, I would subscribe to that in a heartbeat. So.
Thanks, brother.
Well, I really appreciate you taking the time because like, if there's anyone that anyone that's in local or local business or mom and pop, whatever you want to call it, there's anyone that they can learn from, it's you when it comes to, you know, just how you handle your customers, how you get reviews, all this stuff that you talked about today. And so I really do appreciate you taking the time and sharing some of your insights with us. And so thank you, Jay.
Thank you for having me.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, brother.
All right. Well, you guys, I appreciate everyone that has listened to this episode. For Jay and Dave, I'm Matt Sultala, and give you guys one final reminder. We're on iTunes. Make sure you guys go and give us a 5-star review. And see, again, you know, we're talking about reviews. We like them too, guys. And so, again, thanks all for joining us. And until we get you on the next one. Bye, all.
Bye.